views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and I'm here to help you create a life that feels vibrant and powerful, whether you're at work, at home, or at play. Today, I want to talk about living happily with teenagers. Now, even though we talk a lot about the teenage stage, we're really not taught much about it. Instead, the type of things that we hear are more troublesome things, like that it might be painful for your child due to hormones, body changes, and potential broken hearts, and that it might be even more painful to you due to that once sweet child of yours suddenly trying things that you prayed that they'd never get into. Or maybe they start being rude to you and challenging the rules that you put in place. In other words, we're told to brace for this time and even expect them to become rude, belligerent, and to make bad choices. Now, I have a bit of a problem with this way of thinking for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is that it makes people buy into the teenager myth and start seeing them all as a problem. When this happens, you no longer give the benefit of the doubt to your teen or try to creatively come up with ways to bring out the best in your child. It can make you think that you have to save them, that the only way to do that is to create a bunch of rules and then monitor and control their every move. Now, in all honesty, thousands, perhaps millions of parents could tell you that this does not work. That, of course, would be in hindsight. But the truth is, trying to control anyone is super frustrating, and it causes us to actually push our teens away right at a time when they would benefit by having us firmly in their corner. As a society, we have adopted these negative beliefs about our teenagers. Many of us avoid groups of teens at all costs. I mean, you might cross a hallway in a mall not to walk by a group of teens. We rarely give them the benefit of the doubt. When we hear a story like about an alleged crime or something, if there was a teenager anywhere near the vicinity, we're pretty quick to suspect they were the problem. And to me, this is a really big oversight on our part. And yet, I also know that many teens do behave in undesirable ways. And we see that, if not at home, then we might watch it on TV, we hear about it in the news, we listen to neighbors talking about it, and all of that reinforces this very prevalent stereotype. I remember when my kids were young and I would take them shopping, and people would strike up conversation, or at least try to strike up conversation with them all the time. You know, aren't you cute? What are you shopping for today? And I mean, depending on the day and the situation, they would often get a cute smile from my extroverted older son and the stink eye from my rather anxious and introverted younger one. Typically, people would laugh at this and they'd say something to me about how wonderfully cute my kids were. Then they turned into teens. And everything changed. Suddenly, people wouldn't make eye contact with them, even when they were the one paying for something or, you know, they were the customer. They were watched if they went into a store with or without me. People would move if I told them, you know, go sit on that bench while I finish shopping. And they'd go over to sit on the bench and people would move if they were sitting there too. They were given the stink eye by other adults, even when those adults were the attendants in the store. I was kind of shocked at this, but now I've watched it happen or heard about it from so many teens that I realize it's not adults being rude, but rather something people do when they don't understand a group, a section of society, and they buy into a myth that says they're bad, or they allow the behavior of a few to color every person in that category. So it might be worth it, no matter how old your own child is, to start thinking about your beliefs, your judgments, and stereotypes when it comes to teenagers. I've caught myself on occasion falling into this place, and I have to admit that sometimes it takes a good deal of self-reflection to actually get back out and to be comfortable calling yourself on it. But our teens are our future. They're our future store owners, politicians, healthcare providers, teachers, restaurant workers, flight attendants, and so on. You name it, they are our future. And yet, as a community, we often treat them poorly for, you know, these 5 or so years, and then expect them to respect us. Okay, thanks for listening to my little rant. Now, on to the nuts and bolts of this topic. Today, I would like to talk about this stage of life and shine a bit of light on it as to what is really going on for your teenager and what you can do to make this time an okay experience for all involved. Teenagers are in a vortex of their own. They're no longer children, but they're not yet adults. This is actually a time for them to integrate all that they've learned so far, to test it out, to discard what doesn't fit, and basically practice being an adult. It's kind of like the practicum piece of any course that requires you to do practical experience before you graduate. Like in social work, for me, we had to do internship placements where we worked as a social worker, we were treated like a social worker, we were given a caseload like a social worker, but we had supervisors that were there to guide us, to help us figure things out, to make sure that we were doing it right. Our teens are living with us, so they're subject to our boundaries and rules, but they are also practicing for being on their own. And this is really important because it means that while our kids are still relying on us for many things, they're also feeling a very real need to be independent and to be taken seriously. Now, this can lead to sensitivity, which just compounds that limit testing, not to mention risky behavior and rebellion. For those of you who are familiar with my work, it'll come as no surprise to you how important I feel relationship and mutual respect are to enjoying your child. If you listen to my show on Parent Power, then you know that right about the time your child becomes a teen is the same time your parent power kind of fizzles out. Which means at that point, you really need to rely on the mutual respect that you've built with your teen to keep communication flowing. Even when your teen is pushing for independence, feeling rebellious, or struggling with hormones rushing through them, they still value the relationship that you've created with them. And they will be willing to listen and work through a few things with you simply because of that mutual respect. Now, if you've done a lot of ordering, controlling, criticizing, and not being really respectful while doing it, then you're probably going to see a stronger rebellion. Sometimes that rebellion can look like a teenager finding a group of kids, maybe even a gang of kids, who they feel is more accepting of them just the way they are, and so they leave, or at least they check out in every way they can, believing that you really don't have their best interest at heart. So everything that I'm going to talk about now will be affected by the kind of relationship that you have built with your teen. It's never too late to change this. But if you have let your relationship become damaged during those tween years, those years just before they become a teenager, or if you've been really controlling for the whole life of your child, then it's going to be tougher for you, and it would probably be in your best interest to get help if you want to change what's going on. The things to know about the teenager stage. Number one, It is natural for your teenager to rebel. Subconsciously, they know that they need to distance themselves from you in order to break away and stand on their own. This is actually nature at her best. If you know anything about polar bears and how they push their cubs away and what goes on there, then you'll recognize it's the same kind of thing. The truth is that if your teen doesn't rebel in any way at all, there's probably more reason to be concerned than if they do rebel. So don't be alarmed if your child is rebelling in some way. It's not a sign that you've messed things up. The rebellion is less likely to be aimed at you if you've taken the time to build relationship with your child. They might still be doing things that you don't like, but they aren't going to do it in a way that strikes out at you. They're doing it because they're curious. They feel this is important to them right now, and they have a very natural desire to rebel against authority. The reason for this rebellion has to do with the fact that adulthood requires them to be ready to take on full responsibility for their own lives and perhaps even that of another. This requires total independence and a knowing, now within them, not within you and I, that they're capable of looking after themselves. It's kind of like that biological clock that creates that urge for us women to have a child. This clock tells our teens it's time to prepare for leaving the nest. Now, your goal with your teen is not to squash this need to test, but to provide the structure that they can practice testing in, so that safe zone for them to play around. If you lay down the law in a really forceful way, you can actually create like an explosion and create a rebellion that kind of shoots off in all directions. But depending on your teen's personality, their sense of self-worth, and your history with them, laying down the law can also delay their rebellion. Since this testing is a necessary part of your child coming into his own, what you're really doing at this point is delaying the inevitable and setting them up to make potential mistakes as a young adult instead of as a teen. The trick becomes finding the balance between creating and enforcing structure without alienating your teenager. So I'm going to share some ideas for how you can find that balance in a couple moments. But for now, understand that at this point, your teenager is basically closed to taking in new information. And instead, they're working on culling through the knowledge that they've already taken in. Now, most of that knowledge came from you, but it also comes from other significant people in their life, like teachers, babysitters, grandparents, coaches, and so on. Traumas or challenges that they've been through in their life will be in there. And much to the chagrin of most parents, they also take in some information from their peers. From newborn to 7 years old, they were soaking up everything you did. Not necessarily everything you said, but everything they saw you do. So you had your chance to share your wisdom with them. Of course, they subscribe their own meaning to your actions, which is kind of unfortunate because they likely didn't have all the information as to why you did what you did. But nonetheless, that is the information that they're now sorting through. This is a time for them to test out what they've seen, heard, experienced, and so on, and then figure out what fits for them. This is happening at the same time as nature is telling them to push against authority. And of course, hormones like testosterone and estrogen are making them feel pretty invincible, which is also known as reckless. So to sum up, point number one, it is natural for your teenager to rebel. Your response can influence how explosive and personal that rebellion becomes. Number two, your teenager is not doing anything to you. Their behavior is not a reflection of your failings. They are testing their wings, following their path, trying things out. You can have done most things right as a parent and still be in a space right now with your teen where it feels like you must have messed up. I know this one really well because I lived it. When my oldest son was in high school, he became disillusioned with school. He realized that it wasn't for him the way it was structured. And around the same time, he decided he liked marijuana. As a result, on one of his spares at high school, him and a few friends went to a buddy's house and they smoked up. When they returned to school, another student had ratted them out, and one by one, they were called into the office and suspended. Now, both my husband and I had some really serious negative opinions about pot smoking, and we were already like really sensitive about this topic. Add to this the fact that part of my job with the school division was community education. So I would do these drug awareness education sessions along with a team from the Addiction Foundation and some community mental health workers and so on. And I did this for parents. So when we got the call that our son was being suspended for smoking drugs at school, oh my gosh, it was really hard to stay objective. It didn't help that I was out snowshoeing at the time with our dogs when they tried to call me, and I don't take my phone when I go for a walk. So they phoned my husband at work and had him called out of a meeting. Yeah, you know, his words to me were, "You better go pick him up, because if I do it, I might kill him." Now, interestingly, what helped me stay firmly grounded in my open-mindedness was watching or listening to my husband react. In other words, he mirrored for me where I wanted to go and where I knew as a parent educator, I just couldn't go. Now, in our minds, our son was being given life on a silver platter. He had lots of love and support from family, potential to go far in life, lots of opportunity to explore hobbies. He had a guitar. He went hiking. He had a BMX bike and was playing around on that. He took art courses. He did kung fu. You know, whatever he wanted to do, pretty much, he could do it. And so we simply could not, and we weren't even willing to try to understand why he would want to numb out from life. We were definitely taking this personally. What did we do wrong? What are people going to think? How do we hold our head high when we walk through the store or talk to our friends? So this began a really intense section of learning for us. I had to practice what I preach and focus all my energy on being open-minded and respectful. I was not always very good at this. I have to tell you, I can remember over the next few years as we went through this time, I can remember yelling at him. I can remember crying. I can remember pleading with him. And throughout it all, what I was really doing was judging and deciding that he was in the wrong. But when I finally let go of who I decided he should be and put all of my energy into enforcing the boundaries in our home, while still loving and accepting him exactly where he was, everything started to change. At no point throughout all of this was he striking out at us. In fact, I can remember him saying something like, "Mom, this isn't about you guys or what you've done or haven't done. This is about me making my own decisions based on my belief that marijuana isn't as bad as your generation makes it out to be." Since then, my husband and I have met many wonderful adults who actually love marijuana as well. And, you know, they're actually healthy, productive members of society. So that really helped us to recognize that every person who smokes pot isn't a bad person. So while I still choose not to use it, and I'm happy to report that our son appears to have cut down hugely on his intake, I don't know whether he still does it or not, because it's no longer an issue for me. It's not a conversation, and he certainly doesn't do it when he's around me. So we've kind of changed everything, not because of these other adults or anything, but because we recognize, you know what, he's our son. We want to have him in our life. Even if he's doing things that we don't necessarily agree with, we still want to have him with us. So summary of number two, your teenager is exploring their journey, not striking out at you, even though it might feel very personal at the time. Number three, teenagers need to forge their own trail. Let go of your past while loving and accepting your teenager as they go through their journey. Your child is not you. So it's not fair for you to think about the things you did or didn't do during your teenage years and then project that onto them. So many adults seem to have either completely detached from their own experience as a teen, as in they've forgotten how bad they were or the things that they did, or they remember it all too well, and they're absolutely adamant that their child is not going to go there too. Now, this isn't fair for so many reasons. One of those reasons is that no matter what you did, no matter how difficult a lesson it was for you to learn, your journey is not the same as your child's, and you cannot save them by telling them what you learned. This doesn't mean that you shouldn't share your learning or that you can't set boundaries based on what you've learned. It just means that there are certain lessons in life that each of us has to learn for ourselves. It's kind of like if you try to describe childbirth to someone else, you know that they don't really get how it feels. And you also know that how it feels for them could be totally different as well. In that same way, you cannot save your teenager from a broken heart, a bad decision, or any other trauma with your words. Your job is not to save them, but to love them through it. Unconditional love really means to love them for who they are, no matter what they do or say. You can set boundaries around what you will tolerate in your home and have consequences when they're broken, but whether or not they listen should not affect your love for them. We're wired as humans to love unconditionally, which is why it really hurts when we start putting restrictions on this. So deal with your own memories of when you were a teen. Make amends if necessary for things you did that you felt were wrong or that you could have done differently, but don't project it onto your teen as if they have done it too. Even if they make the same or similar mistake, you're still allowing your disappointment at yourself to intensify what you're feeling for them. The summary of number three, let go of your past while loving and accepting your teenager while they forge their own trail. So those are three things that you need to understand about the teenage years that will really make a difference if you believe them, if you buy into them. It can make a huge difference in your relationship and how easy or hard this time is. But now let me talk about just a few quick ideas of how you can make this time as wonderful as possible. Now, structure in the form of rules, boundaries, and clear communication are important in any relationship, including living with teens. So setting and enforcing boundaries in a clear yet compassionate manner is always going to be important. You have every right and responsibility to set the limits in your home and enforce them. Although the teenage years are about practicing, learning, and integrating what they've accumulated up till now, teens still require your involvement. As I already mentioned, I find it helpful to think of this teenager stage as being an internship, a time for a person to practice what they've learned while still having a supervisor who wants to help them grow and experience things. This is a great way to think because as a parent, it can help you shift out of ego, where you take everything personally and probably overreact, into the more objective, less emotional space of supervisor. So I have seven tips that I use to help guide parents in their supervisor role. I've only got a few minutes left, so I'm going to give them to you really quickly and see how it goes. Number one, focus your energy on building relationship with your teen. I've already covered this one really thoroughly. So let me just say it's your relationship with your teen that will make these years enjoyable or miserable. So as much as possible, avoid nagging or fighting just to get your way. Number two, tune into what feels right for you and your teenager. Avoid restricting your teen simply because society has told you that you need to have those kinds of rules. When you're at odds with your teen, ask yourself, how important is this for them to learn? Why am I enforcing this? Even talk to them about it. And be sure that anything you choose to enforce, you choose because it represents how you feel or what you feel is important. Number three, be clear about your own expectations and consequences for not respecting your rules. A good supervisor always tells you what the rules are and what's going to happen if you don't follow them. So provide a reason that feels right for you, then enforce your rules calmly, consistently, and guilt-free. Number four, learn positive forms of communication and practice them with your teen. Hurt feelings, disrespect, closed communication all get in the way of a real conversation happening. The more you keep information flowing, the greater your chances of being heard and of being kept in the loop. Number 5, separate your teen from their behavior. It's fine to hate what your teen is doing, but remember, this is part of their journey and does not make them a bad person. They're going to appear reckless, self-centered, inconsiderate, and unappreciative some of the time. These are not character traits of their personality, but a result of the processing, experimenting, and distancing that comes with this stage. If you refuse to accept them or reject them, they're going to look for and find acceptance somewhere else. Number 6, understand that teens are quick to take comments personally and critically. This is part of their development and not a defect. Your teenager is in a vulnerable and challenging point of development. When people correct them, it can feel like rejection of who they are becoming. It's common for them to be ultra sensitive during this time, similar to how an adult might feel when they start a new job or something like that. So really be aware of that. And number 7, be open to learning new things and adapt your opinion as you go. Often by the time your kids become teens, you've gotten into this sort of parenting groove that feels comfortable. So when your teen suddenly changes from who you thought they were becoming, your response might be to dig deeper into your groove. These are the 7 points I suggest that you keep in mind when you're creating structure with your teen. We all thrive from structure, even though we might question why it's necessary and sometimes have to push against the rules. The trick for parents is to be sure your structure aligns with your beliefs so you can be clear, enforce it, and feel good about it. When it comes to teenagers, you're no longer raising them. Your goal now is to live with them, happily, if you can. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.